Are you ready, all you fans out there in out there land? I say it's time again. Have mercy, let the congregation say, hey, man. It's time for the biggest, baddest party in the world. So get on up, turn it up a notch, and get ready to boogie, baby. Ow!
From Tomahawk to Rhinelander, from Anago to Eagle River, and everywhere in between, it's time for the Sports Q on WJJQ. Now, here is your host, Alex Cook.
Welcome to the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Good to have you along here on this Wednesday evening. I have one question for everyone. Did last week truly happen? Because I feel like that we just skipped over that part and went right into this week. And joining me right back in the air chairs, John Long is out doing work-related things, i.e. showings in his real estate company.
Allegedly.
So we've got Matt Tyler and Keith Hansey in the air chairs. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
It is good to be back for some redemption.
Redemption?
For 2 weeks, I don't listen to your show, but I just happened to be listening.
Ouch.
And I was getting hammered on by these guys.
Now you
especially Matt
hammered.
Tyler.
Alex.
Yes?
You told me Maddie was going to be here tonight. That's the only reason I decided to show up.
Which was, that I will say, that was a very good show.
Yes,
Keith,
it was.
Very good show.
Keith, yeah. All kidding aside, you got great kids.
Yeah.
You really do. She's a
really
good
do.
Kid.
Super
yeah.
lucky.
Yeah. Yeah, very super lucky. Good luck to her, by the way, in Green Bay as well coming up. Well, we got a jam-packed show for you. Hunter Baumgart from 97.3 The Game is going to join us. We're going to talk about some Brewers and the roller coaster start to the season that they've had. We're also going to chat about the Bucks' future. That'll be coming up in segment two for today. A lot of question marks after losing to Indiana in five last night. But you know where we're going to start? We're going to start off by recapping the NFL draft. What do you say, gentlemen?
Yes.
All right, here we go. So obviously, the NFL draft was this past week. Matt Tyler, John Long, and I had the fortuitous opportunity to be on Radio Row in Green Bay. So Radio Row for us, if you weren't aware, if you didn't follow along, was in the Resch Center Expo, which was right behind the draft theater, and it was a phenomenal experience for the three of us. And I think what really, really stood out was how well that event was coordinated. It was absolutely phenomenal on both sides, too. Matt,
did you fill out your evaluation you got
today? Yes, I did fill out the evaluation that I got today. The only problem I had is that I wish that the media entry was in the same spot for both the media tour on Wednesday and then the actual draft. That's the only complaint that I had. Other than that, everything was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was an experience. And we were able to meet guys like Wayne Larrivee and Adam Peckman and Jones.
Yeah, exactly.
But the first thing I tell everybody is how they feed us. It was amazing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was a buffet style. Yeah. It was beef tenderloin, chicken breast, and mashed potatoes the first night. It was New York strip and blackened salmon. It was crazy.
Jambalaya also that night, too. Yeah. Man, it was phenomenal.
Yeah, and, I was listening to the show and then watching it on TV also, but to see 125 maxed out there, that's not including, that's just spectators.
Yes.
And I was curious on how they were able to cater everything and keep, you go to a regular Packer game with 80,000 people and there's lines for the bathrooms.
Yeah.
There's lines everywhere. But I wondered how they did it with all the media, all the NFL people, all the team personnel. And then add 125, 150,000 just at the stadium. Plus, you look at those businesses all the way around that were just packed, like Stadium View and Druzy's, stuff like that. I just wonder, how did they do it all?
Yeah, well, so on Saturday, I got the chance to see it as a fan, and we went to eat at 1919 Kitchen and Tap, the restaurant inside. It used to be Curly's Pub. Phenomenal food. A couple of guys that we also met when we were on Radio Row, Keith, one of them was named Jim Bob Morris. He was a former defensive tackle for the Packers in the 80s.
D-back, I think he was.
D-back, thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, Jim and Bob. He played along with Chuck Cecil in the early 90s as well. And he is a phenomenal gentleman. He's now a talk show host for WGN Radio in Central Illinois. He was great. I got the chance to meet a former NFL tight end, Johnny Mitchell, who works for ESPN Brazil, of really? All places. Yeah, so he's the one that helps coordinate the Brazil game. So the Chargers are going to be hosting this year, and the NFL schedule release, which is 2 weeks from tonight, will determine who the Chargers will play in the first game of the season. That's when the schedule will get released here. Yeah, it was great. I used as many business cards as I could, hopefully going to be able to put together some connections. It was great. Wayne Larrivee, I'll say this about him on the air. I know we've said it again. He is a phenomenal gentleman. One of the most down-to-earth people you will ever meet.
Didn't turn down a picture, an autograph, nothing.
No. I can't imagine what his schedule was like during that whole draft, being the voice of the Packers.
Well, the funny thing is,
they actually caught him in a spot, or else they would have never got the interview.
Exactly. That's the funny thing.
By luck.
So what happened was, we were supposed to do the interview live. Wayne interviewed me early in the morning. I was a dumbass and didn't check my email. Sorry, I can't say that on the air.
What?
No.
Idiot.
So, I can't believe I said that.
I expected that out of me.
Well, you can get away with that a little bit. So, if I do say that, apologies, Greg. I'll pay the fine. So, what ended up happening was, I was a dummy and didn't check my email before I came out. And he said, is there any way that we could do it via the phone? And I said, well, and I thought to myself, okay, well, we can try and do it ahead of time. Are you going to be like anywhere that we could chat? So John and I were out walking along, you know, the Oneida gate.
They left me with you.
Right.
One of those things.
Left you in charge again?
Yeah, right.
Exactly. So, and you know, we happened to run into him when he was taking photos, and we're like, oh, let's go get him. Let's go knock out this interview right away. And it was great. The opportunity to talk to him was just absolutely humbling. It was amazing. And the fact that I was able to talk with him, I talked to former Packers tight end Mark Shimura as well. Those two guys are absolutely, absolutely phenomenal people. You know, Shimura was in Florida, so he had to do the interview via phone as well. But he was very knowledgeable about the game and about the sport as well. But it was an overall experience. It was an overall great experience. So, gentlemen, let's go ahead and recap the NFL draft picks that the Packers made. The big one obviously came in the first round with them taking Texas wide receiver Matthew Golden at number 23. I'll get your first reaction. You guys probably saw my reaction to the pick. Matt was there live. Keith, I'm sure you saw it on social media. What did you think of Green Bay's first round pick, Keith?
I loved it. I do. He's not, you know, he's not 6'4". He's 5'11". But you watch his highlight reels, and he goes up. He's goes after balls, great hands, great yards after the catch. I thought it was a great pick for the Packers.
Fastest receiver in the draft.
Well, yeah.
Second
fastest?
But he...
Oh, overall.
Oh, okay.
Fastest receiver, but...
He's that deep threat. Even if you don't throw to him, that opens up the middle of the field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I agree with you, Keith, and sticky hands.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He catches everything.
Some of those highlight catches he had.
Yeah.
Double covered with taller...
Yeah.
Defensive backs, and he's going up and getting that ball.
Yep. So the day two picks were a little bit head scratching to start because they went North Carolina State offensive tackle Anthony Belton. Then they doubled down. Then Gutekunst doubled down and takes another wide receiver, Savion Williams out of TCU at number 87. Now, it didn't make sense at the time, but again, we're used to seeing Gutekunst double down on position groups. He doubled down on a couple here as well in this draft. And I think that these two picks were essentially putting the receiving core on notice of saying, hey, you guys need to perform this year to help out this young quarterback or you're gone.
Well, what I liked about Belton, he's outside tackle, but I think he's versatile. And you saw the Packers last year. They were shuffling guys through injuries, through not... I think that's a guy that can fit right in there.
Yes.
A good pick. Number two, though, you know, for the Packers, I don't know, but I think it's a good pick. Savion Williams, I was a little head scratched, did a little more research on him, though, but he had just as many rushing touchdowns as he did offensive pass touchdowns.
All right, he's a gadget.
Gadget player.
Yeah.
Kick returns. He does punt returns. He could be a running back. And a good wide receiver.
The versatility is strong with Gutekunst even on the offensive
and
side.
I think looking at it more in depth, I think it's another good pick because he can. You got a special teams guy right off the bat.
Yep, exactly.
You've got we get a running back that's injured or something like that. Now you can open up that offense a little bit. You could put him out split wide, or he could line up in the running back position. And defenses aren't going to ignore him if he's back there, I think. So I thought the first three picks were pretty good.
Williams is somewhere between Cordell Patterson and Deebo Samuel.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't want to say I didn't realize this, but it didn't come into focus as much until this draft is how much the second pick and the third pick are based off of expiring potential contracts. Mm-hmm. You've got the Watson injury, but then Romeo Doubs.
Who's had concussions yep. like crazy over the last yep. couple of years.
And on the offensive line, you've got Sean Ryan and Rashid Walker who are in question about whether they're going to re-sign them.
Exactly.
So these picks turn out to be a lot cap related.
Yeah, and then the day three draft, they decided to take Texas defensive end Baron Sorrell at 124. 159, they took Oklahoma State defensive end Colin Oliver. Georgia defensive tackle Warren Brinson at 198. Tulane corner Michael Robinson at 237. And then Cincinnati offensive lineman John Williams at 250. What do you guys think was the best day three pick of the draft? Keith, I'll start with you.
I'm John Williams.
Okay.
Now, he's another guy I did some more research on because, you know, we don't know a lot about tackles.
Of course.
But, again, he was the strongest outside tackle for Cincinnati, but also he protected the quarterback's blind side. And in the NFL, if they can do that, they're easily able to switch those guys and move them around because they're technically the most talented guy on that line in that college. So I think he's going to be another one that can jump into this offensive line, because if we do not have an offensive line, Love's going to be running for his life. And we've seen in the past few years that we don't have a solid line from
no.
opening day to playoffs. I think we need guys like that to secure that offense so they can run what they want to run and not get handcuffed. If you have a guard or a tackle that's weaker and they're getting it back, guess what? You can't run the ball to that side. Now you're going to be rolling out this side, and it kind of pigeonholes them. So I like the John Williams, and okay. I like the Anthony Belton.
All right. There you go, Matt.
I like Sorrell. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but he was there in the green room on day two by himself.
Yes. Yeah, I did.
Didn't get picked and had the choice, do I stay or do I go? He stayed, and when they did the press conference with him, his emotion.
He was
so grateful. Had a great supporting cast with yep. mom, dad, his godparents, I think, mm-hmm. were there too.
I actually saw that pick live, so I got the chance to see Sorrell go up on that podium and do his interview live.
That's a guy I'll pull for.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. I'm with you, Matt. I thought it was Sorrell. Again, the John Williams pick I think is good, Keith, because it gives them offensive line depth, something that Green Bay was lacking, especially in the postseason. But again, this is Gutekunst. He's been known to double, even triple down on position groups in the past. He tripled down on receivers in his yep. first draft that he had.
Yeah.
So,
and last year was all the cornerbacks.
Yeah, and last year was all the corners. So mm-hmm. this year, they doubled down on wide receiver. They double down on offensive linemen. They triple down on defensive line, and then they got a corner to help out. Now, here's the interesting part about all this. The corner that they took was in the seventh round, a guy named Micah Robinson out of Tulane. Gentlemen, that pick leads me to believe that Jaire Alexander is going to be back in Green Bay this season.
I think based on how the draft went.
Yeah.
You know, we were looking the whole time, we were looking for his replacement, and mm-hmm. they didn't even go defense till the fourth round, which we talked about on the second day. It's like Jaire staying.
Yeah,
yeah, and there was cornerbacks available, good ones.
There were, yes.
And he, the Jaire camp, apparently there's been a couple reports today that he is open to restructuring his contract.
Which is a good thing, which is a very good thing.
Yeah.
Now, and I do want to quickly, before we go to break here, I do want to applaud Green Bay for taking Matthew Golden, especially being in Green Bay, because also I found out there was another team that was going to take him if Green Bay passed him up.
So they were going to trade up?
Exactly.
To get him?
You know what that team was? Philadelphia. The Eagles were going to try and take him to be the number three receiver to Devontae and A.J. Brown, or potentially have the number one receiver, depending on what the contracts are like for those two. So that's something to pay attention to. NFL draft overall, a success in Green Bay. What wasn't a success was the Bucs season. We're going to talk about their future coming up next here on the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Where Northern Wisconsin comes for in-depth Wisconsin sports talk. From youth sports to the pros, you are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Spring fishing time in the North Woods is here. Make sure you're set for a successful day out on the water. Head over to Vigood's Do It Express in Tomahawk. Check out the selection of rods, reels, and combos. Minn Kota trolling motors, Stearns life vests, hip boots and waders, tackle boxes and tackle, artificial bait and live bait, plus your fishing license. Stop by today at your spring fishing headquarters, Vigood's Do It Express, right along North 4th Street in Tomahawk.
Bringing comfort to your home is Hilgi's of Tomahawk's top priority, and with their line of furnaces and air conditioning systems, Carrier and Hilgi's are dedicated to improving your quality of life by creating a comfortable, healthy living environment. Carrier makes one of the most efficient heating and cooling systems rated by Energy Star, and millions of people trust Carrier's leadership and expertise in delivering premium solutions for their home heating and cooling needs, and you can count on Carrier and Hilgi's to keep you comfortable. Carrier, turn to the experts at Hilgi's LP Gas, South Tomahawk Avenue. Call 453-3505. They're online at hilgis.com.
Billy Bob's Sports Bar in Grantland invites you to dine in or carry out all your favorite menu selections, including soup, salad, sandwiches, wraps, and Chicago-style pizza. Happy hour is Monday through Thursday from 2 until 5. On Fridays, Billy Bob serves their fantastic fish fry all day, and Saturday it's prime rib with servings starting at 5 and while supplies last. Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill, County Highway L, north of Tomahawk, ready to serve you daily at 11 o'clock. It's Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill. The Enchilada Country Club invites you to play around with them this spring. Enchilada's Par 70 layout is truly fun and challenging for players of all ages and ability levels. Enchilada features a driving range, putting and chipping greens, pro shop, and bar and grill. Call for your tee time today at 453-3130 or book a tee time online at EnchiladaCC.com. Enchilada Country Club, Clear Lake Road in Tomahawk. Play around this spring at Enchilada.
Welcome back to the Sports Queue here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook, Matt Tyler, and Keith Hansey back with you here. Keith, I promise you we were saying all good things about you over the last couple of weeks while you were on the air.
No, I just happened to tune in right at those times, and I'm like, what is going on here? I leave for 2 weeks, and Matt is just throwing me under the bus. Trying to get Maddie to throw me under the bus, too. No, it's all good.
It was easy, though. She came right along with it.
Yeah, it's easy.
Yeah,
it's not
exactly.
Hard,
exactly.
You done messed up, A.A. Ron!
There you go. Well, you know what else was messed up? The Bucks. Really messed up throughout the course of the season, and there's a lot of question marks about the future of this team. Gentlemen, let's get right into it. What do you say?
I think so.
All right, let's do it.
Let's go.
VanVleet against Giannis. Crosses over, shovel pass, and count! Giannis gets the block! Got two to work with. Dame off the bounce against Brooks. Dame driving inside, gets it to go!
Unfortunately, that was one of the few shining moments for Damian Lillard in a Bucks uniform.
Wah, wah, wah.
Damian Lillard's playoffs and likely his 25-26 season is ended with a torn Achilles tendon that he suffered in Game 4. The Bucks season would end with a collapse in Game 5 in overtime, losing 119-118. Tyrese Halliburton scored the final 8 points. We'll get into this with talking about the Bucks and the future specifically. We're not going to get into the altercation that happened after the game with Tyrese Halliburton's dad, because it's already been given enough leeway, enough topics, and we'll just go ahead and forego it. But, gentlemen, I'll start with you, Matt. Bucks finished 48-34, fifth seed in the Eastern Conference, losing the first round of the playoffs for the third consecutive year. Damian Lillard likely out all of next year. Where do you go?
You have two options. Mm-hmm. You can either, and I hate that players get a say in this in some way, mm-hmm. but you go back to even when Kareem Abdul-Jabbar requested a trade, he requested it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nothing new, but you can either say, Giannis, we're going to blow it up and start over, hang around for a couple years, or else you take Giannis and you got to trade him and blow it up and start all over and get max value while he's there.
Yeah.
I think those are your options at this point. Mm-hmm. Doc's got to go. Doc Rivers has got to go.
Yeah. Keith, I'll start with you, and then I'll go.
So my thought is that was the last game we'll see Giannis play in a Bucks uniform. Honestly, I don't see them right now. As Matt was talking about the value,
mm-hmm.
he's probably got the most value to trade him and get the most for the Bucks. And I think, honestly, I think that's what they're going to do.
Well, let me put it to you this way, gentlemen. First of all, let's just go ahead and say Giannis has not requested a trade. He has not requested a trade, and he made it very clear after the game he will not be requesting a trade.
Right.
So that leads me to believe that the ball is going to be in the Bucks' court.
Mm-hmm.
Here's where I think this could get a little funky. Because Damian Lillard is going to be gone for all of next year.
And who knows if he'll come back from an Achilles.
Exactly. The one outside of Kevin Durant, because Kevin Durant had his Achilles tear when he was in Golden State, was able to come back, but it took, you know, a full season for him to fully come back and be the player who he is right now. Outside of that, the only player that has had a successful return from an Achilles injury and has had a long, fruitful NBA career was Dominique Wilkins. That's it.
And at what age was Dominique when he had it?
I think it was mid-20s.
Yeah. Where
he was mid-20s. Kevin Durant was about 28, 29, possibly 30, I think, when he tore his.
I think there's a huge difference between having it in your late 20s to your mid-30s, late 30s.
Which leads me to this next point. I said this when Lillard got his blood clot, and I'll say it again. I think he should retire. I genuinely think that he should retire. It's not because that I don't think that he can still play in the NBA. It's because that I don't think he can still play at this level.
Yes.
We're not going to be able to see Damian Lillard, I think, average 25 points a game. So where does that leave Milwaukee? Let's say, for the sake of argument, they hang on to Dame. You've got Giannis, and you could use him in a trade. We are not going to do hypotheticals here. We're not going to say, you know, he should go here or he should go there. We will only start doing that once the NBA draft lottery hits, because here's why. You have a number of teams that have a bunch of picks. The typical contenders are Brooklyn, who's at the top, Oklahoma City, which I don't see them making a move if they win the finals. I think they'd stay pat with the team that they have right now. You got Houston, who's an option as well. They're struggling a bit against Golden State in this postseason. And the other team that keeps coming up is San Antonio. So with all of this in mind, what would a return package look like for Giannis Antetokounmpo? Probably multiple first-round picks. You're going to want to get two or three quality pieces if they're able to go through with this. We're not going to do hypotheticals on saying, oh, he should go to this team or who should go to that team. But the important thing to point out here is this guy's the greatest player in franchise history. I don't care what anybody says. You can make the argument for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I've got no problem with it. No one has been able to have this sustained amount of greatness for this long. And not just because of the fact that he performs this well on the court. People forget, just 10 years ago, a decade ago, before he was drafted, there was talk about the Bucks moving because they needed a new arena. The Bradley Center was outdated, and they needed a new arena. So what ended up happening is they draft Giannis in 2013, thinking, now let's see what we can do with this kid. He's a project. And he slowly became one of the best players in the NBA. And as a result, the Bucks were able to get new funding for a new arena. So Giannis was a big reason why NBA basketball stayed in Milwaukee. Otherwise, they probably would have moved to Seattle, to be perfectly honest with you. So looking at this future here, here's where the future of Doc gets interesting to me. I think that if Giannis is traded and Damian Lillard sits out, I think Doc stays. Follow me along with this, okay?
All right, I'm following you.
The last time Doc Rivers had a team that didn't have a superstar on it was the 2018-2019 Clippers. That team had Danilo Gallinari. They had a rookie, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He wasn't the star that he is right now. He was a rookie. You had Lou Williams. You had Montrezl Harrell. Sindarius Thornwell was on that team. What do you think their record was?
Well, I'm going to say it was probably pretty good, or else you wouldn't be making this point.
51-31. Now, it was only good for the number 8 seed because the West was absolutely stacked that year, and they ultimately ran into the Warriors. But I think Doc Rivers is better at doing more with less because I think he does less with more. Because after Paul George and Kawhi Leonard got there, the best thing that he did then was take the Clippers to the second round. After that, he ultimately gets fired. Then he goes to Philadelphia, and Philadelphia has a couple of big collapses in the second round as well. So I think Doc Rivers stays if Damian Lillard doesn't play and if Giannis gets traded. What do you guys think?
It's a good theory.
Yeah, I mean, they could look at that temporarily, but let's say you make a quick turnaround, then you're going to hang on to the guy? Because it sounds like he really can't coach. Based on your theory, he can't coach with talent.
No.
He coaches average teams better than he coaches talented teams. So.
Very similar to Nate McMillan.
Yeah.
Very similar to Nate McMillan.
Gets him to the same level, maybe the second round.
Yeah, exactly.
Not up to that.
Not over the top.
Yeah.
So right now looking at this, again, I do not want Giannis to leave Milwaukee. Let's just be very clear about this, because I think this is all going to be the Bucks doing here. And the reason why I say keep an eye on the NBA draft lottery is there's one team with two first-round picks in this year's NBA draft. Who's the number one pick going to be in the NBA draft this year?
Cooper Flagg.
The one team that is number two that has two first-round picks? The San Antonio Spurs. If the Spurs win the lottery, which we've seen teams with... They have, I think, the eighth best odds to win the lottery. We've seen teams lower than that win the lottery, right? If San Antonio ends up getting the number one overall pick in the draft, do you pull the trigger?
Well, I'm going to liken this to the Jabbar trade. There were three players in a draft pick. The three players were Junior Bridgman, Brian Winters, Dave Myers. Good players, not great players.
Bridgman has his number retired.
Yeah, Bridgman probably more famous for all the Wendy's that he bought. He was a billionaire after he got done playing.
Yeah.
The draft pick turned out to be Marcus Johnson, who of that group was probably the best player.
Yeah.
So I definitely think if you go that route, I want lottery picks more than I want players. I don't know if you're going to get the superstar players for Giannis because teams aren't going to want to get rid of their superstars.
Yeah, they're not going to trade, essentially. Yeah.
Right, you're not going to do Giannis straight up for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in OKC.
No.
Keith? But I think Oklahoma, that's the rumors you keep hearing, too, because they're the young team, and they could bring in a veteran superstar who's still, averaging over 30 points a game. He put the Bucks on his back and tried everything he could. Wasn't his fault his teammates couldn't make the basket.
Right.
Outside of Gary Trent Jr. That's it.
Frustrating part, for him. So I don't know. I just have a feeling that he's not going to be back.
Bucks don't own their own first round pick until 2031. That's 6 years from now. New Orleans and Portland, they have the right to swap those picks out because those two were put in the Drew Holiday trade and the Damian Lillard trade. Mm-hmm. Mortgage your future for a championship.
Which they did.
Yeah.
Then it fell off real fast.
And I think that injuries were a big part of it, unfortunately.
Yep.
Because Chris Middleton, he was never the same after the 21-22 season. Damian Lillard's not going to be the same after the torn Achilles. He strained his Achilles last year, and then a year to the day, he ends up tearing it.
Well, and age worked against him. The players you're talking about, Brook Lopez getting older.
Yeah.
Dame's up there. They're just getting up there in age.
They are. And you look at, this year, they're averaging 10, 11 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
Look back 4 or 5 years ago. You get older, you're going to score less points and be less effective.
So very quickly, before we go into news here, question for you guys. There are three players with a player option this season. Pat Connaughton, Bobby Portis, and Kevin Porter Jr. Do you bring any of those three back?
Yes.
Which one?
I can only bring one back?
Well, how many do you want to bring back?
I like all three of them for three different reasons. I like Connaughton because I think he's just a good team guy. But again, I don't know if Pat Connaughton's going to really give you any value other than being a good locker room guy.
Yeah.
Portis is absolutely loved by Milwaukee. I still think he's got some gas in the tank, but probably Porter Jr. is my number one.
Yeah, I would say so. Keith?
I agree. If you got to bring one back, let's say, definitely Porter.
Yep.
A lot of question marks surrounding the team this year, gentlemen. A lot of question marks surrounding the team this offseason. We'll see if we can talk, you know, maybe the best fits for Giannis in the second part of this show here. But needless to say, the Bucks championship window might be officially closed.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad, but it's true.
Yep.
You're tuned into the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Coming up on part two of the show, we'll chat with Hunter Baumgart from 97.3 The Game about the Brewers' up and down season. That's next. This is the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Tomahawk 61 degrees under sunny skies. Time for CBS News.
Talking Packers, Badgers, Brewers, Bucks, and local sports. You are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Cammy McCormick. This just in, the Treasury Department says the administration has signed a deal with Ukraine, establishing an investment fund to help Ukraine recover from the war. A statement says it sends a signal to Russia that the U.S. is committed to Ukraine over the long term. It does not mention Ukraine's rare earth minerals. The Supreme Court heard arguments today in a case that centers around the separation of church and state, and specifically, a publicly funded religious charter school in Oklahoma. Allison Keyes reports.
An attorney for the St. Isidore of Seville Catholic Virtual School, Michael McGinley, told the Supreme Court.
This court has held three times in the last 8 years that when a state creates a public program and invites private actors, it can't exclude people or groups because they're religious.
Opponents warn allowing the school to open could throw the rules governing charter schools in almost every state into chaos.
A Columbia University student activist was released from federal custody today on the orders of a judge in Vermont.
To President Trump and his cabinet,
yes,
I am not afraid of you.
Yeah! A federal judge in Maryland again directed the Trump administration to provide information on Kilmar Abrego Garcia, the Maryland man mistakenly deported to El Salvador. CBS's Scott McFarland reports.
She has ordered the administration to answer questions about why Abrego Garcia was mistakenly deported, what his condition is, where he is, what the situation is in terms of getting him back, and she hasn't gotten answers for that. So no matter the conversations that may or may not be happening between the U.S. government and the Salvadoran government, this judge has been defied.
She's been ordering his return since April 4th. Kuwait has released 10 more American detainees. Linda Kenyon has that.
The prisoners included American military contractors and veterans held on drug charges or other offenses. 10 other prisoners were released last month. Taken together, they amount to the largest release of U.S. citizens held by one foreign country in several years. The release and pardons come several weeks after the Trump administration's envoy for hostage affairs visited the U.S. ally of Kuwait.
In Israel, a dangerous wildfire is burning. Linda Gradstein has that.
Thousands of Israelis were evacuated from their homes, and the main highway to Jerusalem was cut off in what some Israeli officials said was the worst fire in the country's history. Israeli officials say they are investigating whether the huge blaze was the result of arson. Several European countries and the Palestinian Authority have offered assistance.
The country's defense minister has declared a national emergency. On Wall Street, the Dow finished up 141. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting truly great candidates for your roles? It seems impossible to find them, but they have to be out there somewhere, right? Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go. And that place is ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. And because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're missing out. So see what it's like when the impossible is easy. When you go to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
The trade war has kept a lot of people from traveling to the U.S., and even with the new government promising to take a firm stance against President Trump, many Canadians are staying put. Mike DeWald has more from San Francisco.
Whether it's tariffs, politics, or immigration concerns, Canadian travelers seem to have some degree of apprehension in traveling to the U.S. Silas is headed home from San Francisco. He says many Canadians are opting to vacation elsewhere.
If I had a choice, I would not be here right now, but we had like a wedding we had to come to, so.
Yeah, new data from Visit California showing that to start the year, tourism to the Golden State from Canada is off by 15%. It comes as Governor Newsom mounts a campaign to woo Canadians back. Mike DeWald for CBS News, San Francisco.
The Washington Post is reporting Federal Election Commission workers are now required to report their daily location. An email says it's part of an effort to identify unused federal office space that may be ripe for disposal. I'm Cammy McCormick, CBS News.
WJJQ Radio Sports Time, 6:06 p.m. Good Wednesday evening. I'm Alex Cook. You're tuned into the Sports Queue here on WJJQ. Our temperature's at 61 degrees under sunny skies. Coming up on part two of our show, we're going to sit down with Hunter Baumgart from 97.3 The Game and chat about the Brewers roller coaster season. And after that, we'll play some Mascot Madness with Keith and Matt. That's coming up here on the Sports Queue. That's coming up after your weather forecast from Tony Schumacher.
The forecast for the Northwoods for tonight, clouds gradually thickening with a small chance of a light shower later, low near 41. Mostly cloudy tomorrow, highs in the upper 50s. There could be a brief light shower in a couple of spots, wind southeast to east at 5 to 10. A more widespread rain likely Thursday night, low in the upper 30s. Friday, scattered showers up through midday. A few peaks of sun later, but chilly and breezy, high 49. Saturday, chance of frost early, otherwise mostly sunny, high 63. Some beautiful weather Sunday and Monday, sunny with highs in the lower 70s. I'm meteorologist Tony Schumacher for WJJQ.
The Sports Q on WJJQ, your source for sports from around the state and in the Northwoods. Here's your host, Alex Cook.
And welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Good to have you along here on this Wednesday evening. It's now time for our state interview of the night. And joining us right back on the line, another true friend of the show, Hunter Baumgart from 97.3 The Game. Hunter, thank you for joining me.
Yeah, good to be back with you, Alex, and thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, Hunter, let's dive right into the Brewers here. We're pretty much through the first month of the season. They're sitting at 15-15, third in the National League Central. It's been a roller coaster start to the year for them. Why do you think it's been so up and down?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of reasons. I think, you know, at the beginning of the year, it was the starting pitching, and you didn't really know what you had. Because you had so many injuries and you had to weather that storm, and the Brewers have done an incredible job of weathering that storm. And to be honest with you, the reason that they've lost as many games as they have really hasn't been because of the starting pitching. In fact, the starting pitching has been probably a top five staff throughout the month of April in the majors after those first four games where you got blown out. And that's a credit to the front office going out and getting a guy like Quinn Priester, realizing that Elvin Rodriguez after a couple starts wasn't doing it. So they take him out of the rotation, and guys just simply stepping up, a guy like Chad Patrick, a guy like Logan Henderson for one start. That's been good. So that has kept you in games, and that has been able to get you the 15 wins. Now, the 15 losses that they've had has also been, you know, I think it's not necessarily been because of the starting pitching. It's because of a couple of reasons. One, your bullpen hasn't been as good as it was last year. You've lost a couple of late games, including the collapse in Arizona where you had a four-run lead in the ninth. Mm-hmm. And then you also are committing more errors. I mean, just overall, this team is committing errors that we didn't see them make last year. You look at how many games they've committed an error in this year. Through the first 29 games, heading into last night, through 29 games, they had committed an error in 16 games. Last year, through 29 games, they had only committed an error in 9 games. So that's nearly double what you were doing last year, and that's the errors have been in key moments, especially in San Francisco. You had some errors in key moments.
Yep.
So I feel like that is kind of what's been, you know, nagging them throughout the start of the season is your bullpen, which was a big strong suit last year. You finished 13th in baseball in bullpen ERA, which isn't the top, but it's also, you know, you're in the top half. But right now you're 26th in baseball coming into last night with your bullpen ERA. So that bullpen needs to be better. the errors need to clean up, and those are two things the Brewers have hung their hat on over the last couple of seasons that have led to two division titles, and that's, I think, what's going to get them back to competing and winning this division again.
Hunter, let's focus in on the defense primarily. You mentioned the errors that they've committed. Bryce Terang's making some uncharacteristic errors. Joey Ortiz moving from third to short. He's going through some growing pains. Do you think that is all attributed to the loss of Willy Adames going to the Giants?
Yeah, I mean, they have struggled to replace the shortstop position defensively and offensively. Not that Willy Adames, he made some errors last year, so he wasn't like this amazing shortstop.
Right.
But his offense 100% made up for it. I mean, over 30 home runs, he had all those three-run homers, and he was able to just drive in a bunch of runs. Now you have a Jory Ortiz situation where he's hitting eighth or ninth in the lineup. I mean, he's not one of your core hitters. And now, you also have the emergence of Jackson Churio, who can, you know, take that over at the top. But you have to somehow make up those home runs. And as we've talked about before, who is it going to come from? And right now, your shortstop position offensively is way down. And because of that, then you had to move Joey from third to short, and then you opened up third base, and Oliver Dunn and Vinny Capra weren't getting it done. And credit to Matt Arnold, the GM of the Brewers, in the front office, making a swift move and taking Oliver Dunn and putting him in AAA, calling Caleb Durbin up. And Durbin's been really good since he came up. He's made some good defensive plays, and he's also been just getting on base. His first 35 at-bats in the major leagues, he only has two strikeouts. I mean, that's not common.
The
guy's getting on base, you know, he's getting on base. At least he's putting the ball in play, if nothing else, and he's driving in some runs. So I think, you know, that's starting to emerge as, okay, Caleb Durbin might be your everyday guy over there at third base, although he's a natural second baseman. The wild part kind of about it is Joey played really well at third last year. Terang is a natural shortstop, and Durbin's a natural second baseman. So you could argue that all three of those guys are playing out of position right now, which, come August or September, maybe they do switch it up and put those guys in different spots.
Sure.
I don't see it happening. They tried it with Terang in spring training, and the arm was the issue, and the shoulder, you know, doing that longer throw. I know people are like, well, it's not that much. Well, it is longer throw, and that hurt his shoulder. So I know you don't want to move a Gold Glover, really, if you don't have to. So I think they're going to try to stick with that infield that they got right now and hope that Jory Ortiz can pick it up a little bit. And Terang stops with those errors as well.
Again, talking here with Hunter Baumgart from 97.3 The Game here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Hunter, we talked about, you know, the infield. We talked about the bullpen. You mentioned the fact that the starting pitching has actually been doing a decent job holding it down despite the injuries. What's the latest that you're hearing on the injuries to the pitching staff from what you know?
Yeah, so you've got good thing. You know, Tobias Myers is back. Jose Quintana's back.
Yep.
That's really good. But when you look at as far as coming up here, just pulling it up, the latest updates from yesterday were Brandon Woodruff has actually made his fourth minor league start today for the Timber Rattlers. That was in Appleton this afternoon. And then you had Aaron Civale was scheduled to throw a live BP yesterday, and Aaron Ashby was scheduled to throw a couple of innings in Arizona yesterday as well. Those guys, I feel like, are longer term. I would be shocked if we see Ashby or Civale before the end of May. I would think that's a June or July return for those guys. Brandon Woodruff, though, this guy's getting closer and closer. Now, Pat Murphy, after his last start, we'll see what the report is, after today, and we'll get that report coming up at some point. But with Brandon Woodruff, Pat Murphy said he was tired after his last start, and he went five innings. So it's the top of where he's been able to go so far. And I think they're going to want to get him, two, three more starts. But if Brandon Woodruff is not on this roster by Memorial Day, I'll be surprised, and I think that's even late. I think this could be a couple of weeks, and you could see Brandon Woodruff in mid-May rejoin this team. Now, in what capacity that's going to be, that's going to be the question. Are they going to say, okay, we'll give him starts, but he's only going to go, you know, a few innings, or we're going to really keep him, really keep an eye on him? That could be. However, if he's going five innings consistently in the minors, I know the major leagues are different, but if he's going five innings consistently in the minors, I feel like he's just going to rejoin that rotation. Now, of course, who do you take out? Is it Quinn Priester? Is it Chad Patrick? It's a good problem to have. And I think you'd take Brandon Woodruff over either of those guys at any day of the week.
Right.
But I think he is probably your next guy to come back. Nestor Cortez I don't have a good feeling about that. I mean, he was transferred to the 60-day IL, I would say, late June, July, if that. And I don't know. There's been a lot of it's been quiet on that front for a while, and sometimes quiet can mean, ooh, not so good. So we'll see. We'll see with Nestor Cortez. But otherwise, you know, you kind of like how you sit, right? If you have Freddie Peralta, Jose Quintana, Tobias Myers, Brandon Woodruff, and whoever takes that fifth spot, whether it's Priester or Patrick or Ashby or D.L. Hall eventually. So I think you're sitting in a pretty good spot.
And talking here with Hunter Baumgart from 97.3 The Game here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Hunter, final question I have for you. We mentioned, you know, the defensive struggles that Milwaukee has had. We mentioned the bullpen struggles that have. Which do you think they need to correct the most as they start to get into month two of the season?
Yeah, I think it's just it's doing what you did last year, and it goes back to, yeah, bullpen, it goes back to errors. I think the offense needs to be a little more consistent. It's been a little bit of feast or famine so far this season. I mean, mm-hmm. when they win, they really win. You saw it last night, the 7-2 victory over the White Sox. You just seen they when they win, they just blow out the other team, which is like, it's so it's kind of just been a Jekyll and Hyde, if you will. You call it a roller coaster earlier, which I think is perfect, because that's kind of what the offense has been too, where it's been some days it's hot, some days it's not. The good thing is Rhys Hoskins has gotten hotter, Yelich has been hotter lately, Contreras as well. You're starting to see some production out of those guys, and then, you know, guys like Caleb Durbin and heck, Isaac Collins last night with a leadoff home run.
Yep.
Or not a leadoff home run, but a home run in the first inning. So they're getting some contributions. I want to see more consistency out of the offense, less errors, bring those errors down, because that is what you've hung your hat on. If your offense is not going to be, you know, and it's not, you're not going to hit a ton of home runs. You're going to play Murphy ball, as you like to call it, the stolen base, the bunt, and using the speed. That can work, and it worked to a division title last year, but with that, you also won the team NL Gold Glove Award last year, and that was for a reason. So you got to save runs if you're not going to score as many runs. And then the bullpen. The bullpen's been arguably the strength of this team for nearly a decade, and you have to bring it back to at least not 26th in baseball in ERA right now. You got to get it at least to about midway, you know, and about average, because that's going to be good, and have those guys humming on all cylinders. So I think those are three keys to watch out for. And it's wild because I didn't even mention the starting pitching, because it's just been so good and surprisingly so good throughout the season so far.
And the Brewers take on the White Sox tonight in game two of their three-game set. First pitch is at 6:40. It is Tobias Myers out there on the mound for the Crew. Brewers sit at 15-15, third place in the National League Central. Hunter Baumgart from 97.3 The Game. Hunter, thank you very much for joining me.
Yeah, absolutely, Alex. Thanks. Anytime.
Absolutely. Hunter Baumgart from 97.3 The Game here in the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more after this.
Covering sports from Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and the Northwoods. You're listening to the Sports Q with Alex Cook on WJJQ.
Tired of the same old investment strategy? It's time to invest smarter. WSG's proactive risk optimization strategy designs your portfolio based on current risks to help you navigate today's challenging markets. We strive to optimize your investments so you can focus on your goals. Ready for a new approach? Call Wealth Strategy Group at 715-453-0722 or visit us at WSGinvest.com. With Pro, it's time to invest smarter and take control of your financial future.
Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, SIPC.
During the Freedom of Choice pricing program at Brickner's Park City, Jeep Chrysler Dodge and Ram in Merrill, you get to pick the best of both deals. Choose either employee pricing or the generous rebate stacks on over 120 in-stock or inbound units. Your choice. New Ram 1500 Quad Cab 4x4s from $39,780. This could be your last chance to ever buy a new pickup under $40,000. Or take up to $11,000 off Ram 1500 Bighorn Crew Cabs and $10,000 off Ram Laramies and $7,500 off on the hard-to-find Rebel models. Brand new Jeep Wranglers are priced from $32,680, or take $10,000 off our last Wrangler Willys model. And three-row Jeep Grand Cherokees at Brickner's and Merrill are priced from $41,715. 2019 with over 20 to choose from. Brand new Jeep Compass 4x4 is from $26,360. There's always a whole lot of good going on at Brickner's Park City, Jeep Chrysler Dodge and Ram in Merrill. 1-800-499-JEEP or on the web at BricknersParkCity.net. Tax, title, service, fees, extra.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook, Matt Tyler, and Keith Hansey back here with me on this wonderful Wednesday. Gentlemen, Brewers a bit of an up-and-down season for them, obviously, but it's been primarily due to injuries, and obviously the loss of Willy Adames has been hurting them quite a bit.
Yeah. They've got some bright spots, though. Good pickup with Jose Quintana.
Yes.
Has been a really good. And I see Brandon Woodruff's due back earlier than they expected.
Yes, that's very, very true.
That's going to help.
Yep.
Big time, but... You know, to start in a hole like they did, it was alarming. You know, to see him 0-4
to start the season.
But they're battling back.
They are
long
they are.
Season.
Yep, third in the National League Central, and pretty much the whole National League is wide open at this point. All right, gentlemen,
here we go.
Here we go again. It's now time for the moment you've been waiting for.
It's time for the moment you've been waiting for.
It is now time for Mascot
Madness. How long did it take you to record that, Alex?
Okay, first of all, that was actually not me singing.
So what exactly is that called, Alex?
Are you guys familiar with the? Are you guys familiar with SpongeBob?
Yeah, but I mean, like, when you do a lead-in like that, there's got to be a technical name for that, right?
It's time for the moment you've been waiting for. That's
okay.
All. I'm just saying that kind of add-in.
The budget at JJQ was way up there now.
It's insane.
Yes, it is. All right, gentlemen, it's time to play some Mascot Madness.
Yes.
We did Green and Gold Schools last week in honor of Green Bay being at the draft. We're going to do Fox City Schools this week, some more Fox City Schools.
Okay.
So, again, you've got one kid that's in Green Bay, Keith. You've got another one that's heading over there.
So you're going to carry us, right?
I studied all the schools there.
All right. Are you guys ready?
We're ready.
All right.
Let's go.
Here we go. All right. First school you guys have, Appleton North. Okay. Appleton North. The Thunder. The Storm, the Lightning, or the Blizzard?
Appleton North.
Appleton North.
Zach's got two teammates on his volleyball team that are from Appleton North.
I think it's the Lightning.
I want to say Lightning. They're like a light blue and white, if I recall.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it is the Lightning.
Let's go with that?
Yeah.
You're going to go with Lightning?
Yeah.
All right. Lightning is...
Yahoo!
Correct. One for one. Next one. Appleton West. Appleton West. The Tigers, the Terrors, the Titans, or the Trawlers?
I believe it's Terrors.
The Terrors?
Yep.
Is that what you're going with?
Appleton West Terrors. Yeah.
Is that what you guys are going with?
Well, Matt knows these.
Let's go.
All right, Appleton West Terrors is correct. You guys are 2 for 2. Well done.
So what does their mascot look like?
I don't know.
If they're a terror. Yeah.
That's a good question.
Not sure. Right.
I may have to do some extra research there with that one. All right. So these schools are, by the way, are going from enrollment on down. So Appleton North, 1720. Appleton West, 1602 kids. This next one has 745.
Okay.
Fox Valley Lutheran. Fox Valley Lutheran. The Foxes, the Valleys, the Lutherans, or the Crusaders?
Oh, he threw a Crusaders at us last week.
Yeah.
One more time, please.
I want to say it is the Crusaders.
It might be. Go ahead.
Foxes, Valleys, Lutherans,
or Crusaders?
I doubt it's Foxes or
Lutherans. I don't.
Lutherans. It's I've either
heard,
one or four.
I've heard the high school many times, but I don't recall the...
I did get you with Crusaders last week.
Yeah. I know you did.
Yeah.
That was Sheboygan Lutheran. Correct?
Yes. Would you like to use a 50-50, gentlemen?
He'll get rid of 2 and 3. I know he will.
I promise I won't.
All right, Regis. All right. Hit us with a 50-50.
All right. Okay. All right. Here we go. Let's see. I don't have the sound effect for this one, so we'll just do this. Okay. Foxes or Lutherans?
So, then... It's got to be the Foxes.
Go with it, Keith.
It's got to be the Foxes.
Go with Keith's going to go with the Foxes, yeah. Huh? All right. Well, that 50-50 definitely helped you. You're right. It was the Foxes.
I would have went with the Crusaders.
I think I would have, too.
Well, you know what? Good thing that you didn't, all right?
Sometimes when they put the Foxes in, you know, it's like that's too easy.
Yeah, I promise. It can be a bit of a curveball, if you will.
Yeah.
All right, next one. New London.
New London.
New London. London. The Retrievers, the Labradors, the Bulldogs, or the Pitbulls?
Bulldogs.
Bulldogs.
Bulldogs, they say with absolute confidence. Well, you guys are definitely a lot more confident than this last one. And it paid off. You guys are right.
All right. All right.
All right. You guys are 4 for 4 with the help of a lifeline. Let's go on to the next one. Here we go. That is the wrong sound effect. There we go. Marinette. Marinette.
Okay.
The Marines. The Mariners. The Mounders. Or the Mustangs.
I believe they're the Mariners.
I think so too, Keith.
You're going to go with Mariners?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to double check to confirm that really quickly.
Big shipbuilding area.
Big shipbuilding area indeed. They are, see, Marinette here, waiting very, very patiently because you guys said that with absolute confidence.
So then we must be right. No need to look it up.
2,000 years later.
You guys are wrong.
Oh! Hold on. What? Are you using Google?
What was the first choice?
It was Marines. It was the Marines. The Marinette Marines. It was not the Mariners.
Really?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just spelled it wrong. It's
you
Marines.
Just spelled it wrong.
Yeah.
Yes. His pronunciation was off.
My right. pronunciation was not off.
No, Keith.
Not your pronunciation was, huh?
Let's go to the replay on that. I think it was the Marines.
Okay, all right, hold on.
Throw a flag.
All right, okay.
Challenge.
According to this, upon further review, if I can go ahead and get this on here, Marinette is the Marines. They are the Marines. Marinette Marines.
Hmm.
Oh, man. Keith, how does it feel to hit?
Well, I think maybe it's the middle schools, the Mariners. That's what it was.
We'll put a formal protest
on
that.
Put a formal protest here, huh?
This, yeah.
All right. Okay. Let's see if you guys can get this next one. Keewascom.
Ooh.
Keewascom.
So my brother, Mike, was a guidance counselor there, coached them, and took the girls' team to the state tournament when I was a little kid. So,
really?
Yeah.
So you know this one.
They're the Indians.
They are the Indians. All right.
I'm going to go with Matt on that one.
Good call. Good call. All right, you guys, you ready for it to get a little bit harder?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Please.
Yeah.
Please. Oh, man. You guys say that with so much confidence.
Yes.
Campbell's Port.
Okay.
The Cardinals, the Cavaliers, the Comets, or the Cougars?
I know they're not the Comets. Campbell's Port.
Can we have them one more time, please?
Yep. Cardinals, Cavaliers, Comets, Cougars.
What's the school color?
It's blue and gold.
So it's not a Cardinal.
I'm thinking Cavaliers or what was number four?
Cougars.
Cavaliers or Cougars would be my guess.
Let's go with the Cougars.
Gonna go with the Cougars.
Let's go with the Cougars.
Okay.
I'm a follower. I'm not a leader. Go ahead with it.
You're a follower? You followed your option and you're right. There you go. Good job, Keith. All right, you guys have got 5 six out of seven right, excuse me.
Okay. All right.
I know there's a protest coming in with Marinette, yes, I can already tell.
Yep.
Your next one. New Holstein. The Highlanders, the Huskies, the North Stars, or the Norskies?
Now, he throws that fourth one in there.
Yeah.
But I think there is one school that's Norskies. I don't want to throw you off.
Yeah.
So don't necessarily take it. I know there's one nickname in the state that does have that.
That's why it's in the option.
Yes.
All right.
Doesn't mean it's right, though.
Yeah. One more time.
All right. Highlanders, Huskies, North Stars, or Norskies?
What's the school color?
Red and white.
Can we poll the audience? Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Wrong show. My bad.
Not quite. John Long's not here to help you, Matt.
So then... I don't think it's North Stars either.
I don't either. What are you thinking? Okay. Got one?
He's thinking really hard about this one.
Yeah.
He really wants to get this right.
I do.
So does Matt, obviously, but he's trying to go by what Keith wants to say.
Oh, I'm going to be mad if we don't pick four, and it is four.
I know.
I said that, but the one that jumps out is Huskies.
Huskies. Huskies jump out at me, too.
Are you guys going to go with Huskies then?
Reluctantly?
Reluctantly.
Reluctantly. We're going to go with the Huskies.
Reluctantly? Well, reluctantly, you're right! Good job.
Knew it. We were just messing with you.
Dramatic.
The old Huskies.
Yeah. Yes.
All hail the New York Giants.
We don't want the audience on
No, you don't want the audience on that one.
You would think, though, New Holstein, they'd be black and white, school colors.
Yeah.
Be like the
heifers.
The flying cows or something.
Something like that.
Or the hustling hawks.
The Guernseys.
Yeah.
All right. Second to last one, all right?
Okay. All right.
Valdares. The Norse, the Thunder, the Storm, or the Vikings?
Vikings.
You're very confident?
Nope, but we're going Vikings.
Let's go Vikings. Yeah.
Blind confidence from Matt. I think he should do that more often.
Yeah.
All right, you guys have gotten 8 out of 9 right. Are you guys ready for the last one?
This is the one that he always...
I know.
It's coming, Keith. There it is.
Yep.
Get ready to duck.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you that the ducks are not an option with this last one. School of 128 kids. Green Bay New Lutheran.
Okay.
Now, this is what I'm going to tell you. This is an alliteration name of one of the names in their school name. Okay. Mm-hmm. The Greyhounds, the Blazers, the Norsemen, or the Lions?
The Green Bay New.
Green Bay NEW Lutheran.
Yep. What were those four again?
Yeah, sure. Greyhounds, Blazers, Norsemen, or Lions?
You can cut the tension with a knife in here.
I don't know why, but I'm leaning towards those Greyhounds.
Keith, I am too.
Are you guys really?
There's one school. I know, again.
Yes, there's one school.
There's one Greyhounds in the
Greyhounds,
state.
But
there is one state that's the Greyhounds, yes.
But I don't know if that's in southern Wisconsin by the track.
I don't either, but...
The school is located just outside of Bellevue, eastern side of the state.
Hmm. Hey, we're either 80 or 90%.
Right.
We're winners either way, Keith. Just ask us.
Yep.
What are you guys going to go with?
You want to roll the dice on the Greyhounds?
Yeah.
Greyhounds?
The Racing Greyhounds.
The Racing Greyhounds. Out of Green Bay New Lutheran, huh?
Okay. So, there is a Wisconsin school that is the Greyhounds.
Yes.
There is. It is not Green Bay New Lutheran.
It was a good guess. I like it.
Yeah, it was not a bad guess. It was the Blazers. The Green Bay New Lutheran Blazers.
That would have been my fourth choice anyway.
Yeah. The Green Bay New Lutheran Blazers. Yeah, yeah, it's a weird one. It's a weird
one.
Yeah, we're here for the weird ones.
They have a suit jacket as their mascot.
How does it feel to be painfully average?
Hello, whoa, 80% is average?
Actually, 85 because we got Mariners and Marines. Same word.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You're tuned into the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. We'll be back with more after this.
Bringing Wisconsin sports to the Northwoods, this is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Here's a look at your Northwoods 92.5 forecast. Cloudy tonight with a slight chance for showers. Lows around 41. Winds out of the southeast 5 to 10 miles per hour. Slight chance for showers. Tomorrow, highs level off around 60. Cloudy skies expected. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki, and that's your forecast on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Right now, 59.
Get on board at Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Outboards serves their fantastic menu selections from 11 a.m. until 10 p.m. daily. Stop on by for happy hour from 2 until 5, Monday through Thursday. Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk, features their Friday fish fry with cod, walleye, shrimp, and catch of the day. It's Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Get on board.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook, Matt Tyler, and Keith Hansey back with you here on this Wednesday evening, 6:37 at our WJJQ studios. Gentlemen, 80% right on the Mascot Madness Challenge. Not bad. Not bad at all.
85, because our protest is still
Out there. Well, I will say that you guys know a lot more about your mascots than the general public. How about that?
All right.
Thanks, I think.
That's
pretty
good.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good thing.
We'll take that.
Yeah, go ahead and take it.
Yeah.
Go ahead and take it. Go ahead and take the money and run, just like Steve Miller, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How about some drafts? You guys want to go ahead and draft some people? We're going to go ahead and draft our favorite Packer players. Now, how this is going to work is we are going to do the five offensive skill position players.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
We'll do quarterback, running back, two wide receivers, and a tight end. Doesn't have to be in that particular order. You can go ahead and take them in however order you like. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Are you guys ready?
So, Packer player or Packer player that they drafted?
Packer player overall. Packer player. Packer player.
He might not got drafted with him, but he played with
right.
him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay. Exactly.
All right.
Yeah. So,
all right.
Like, for example, Josh Jacobs can be used as a running back.
Okay.
Just so you guys know.
All right.
All right. You guys ready?
I'm ready.
All right,
let's go.
Let's do this. All right. The newcomer, Keith Hansey.
Yes.
You're going to go first.
Do I get to do the quarterback first?
You can if you want.
Whatever position you want.
Yep.
All right. I'm going to go with Aaron.
Aaron.
Good pick.
I got it. He gave us a lot of good years.
Yep.
Kind of fell off after the Packers got rid of him, but.
Mm-hmm.
You messed up, Aaron!
That's still one of my favorite skits of all time.
It is. So I'm going to go with Aaron.
Best player in franchise history.
Yeah.
Best player in franchise history. And that's saying a lot with the history of the Packers the way that they are. Matt, it's to you.
Quarterback's the most important position, right?
Yeah.
Got to go Brett Favre.
We'll go Brett Favre. There you go. By the way, there is going to be a Netflix documentary on Brett Favre coming up in a couple of weeks as well.
So he and just I pay share the same birthday.
Really? Is that right?
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing.
I'm not sure yet either.
Well, you know what? Quarterback is the most important position, so I'll take one as well.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Bart Starr as my QB.
I was wondering if you were going there.
I didn't know if he was going to take the Magic Man or...
No, not Don Majkowski.
All right.
No. All right. Keith, your pick next.
I'm going to go with the running back.
Okay.
Let's see. Who would be my ultimate Packers running back.
There's a couple of options you
there
could go
is,
with.
Mm-hmm. There is. I'm going to go with Amon Green.
Good pick. Good pick. Amon Green, one of all-time leading rushers in franchise history.
I'm going to go with my favorite Packer of all time, probably Sterling Sharp.
Sterling Sharp, wide receiver.
And so once they're drafted, then I can't draft them.
Exactly.
All right.
Well, I could go one way or the other with this one. I'm going to go with probably the only superstar player that Green Bay had in the 70s and 80s, James Lofton.
Oh,
yep. I'm going to go with James Lofton at
receiver.
He was
in my hip pocket.
He was, huh?
Yep.
He was in your hip pocket. All right, so Keith, you got Aaron Rodgers and Amon Green. Who do you got next?
Donald Driver.
Oh.
Good pick.
Alcorn State.
Donald Driver out of Alcorn State University, 7th round pick. Matt, it's to you.
I'm going to stay with the receivers. I'm going to go Jordy.
Jordy Nelson. Yeah. Okay. All right. Jordy Nelson. Jordy Nelson was one of my all-time favorite Packers.
That's why I wanted to take him. Just so I couldn't, huh?
Well, you know what? I'm going to take Devontae Adams then, just to spite you with that. I'll do Devontae Adams. So I got Bart Starr, James Lofton, and Devontae Adams. Good luck trying to stop that that trio.
Yeah.
Keith, it's to you. You got a wide receiver and a tight end left.
Okay. I got to go with Mark Shimura.
Mark Shimura. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Matt?
I've got running back and tight end yet.
Running back and tight end, yep.
I'm going to go way back. I'm going to go Jim Taylor at running back.
Jim Taylor. Tougher than nails, Jim Taylor. Yep. You know what? I'm going to go with his running mate at running back, Paul Hornung.
Yeah.
Yes. Paul Hornung. And again, we left out Aaron Jones because I don't think that there's enough room for two Aarons in this draft.
Right.
All right. Keith, your last pick is your number two wide receiver. Who are you going to go with?
I'm going to go with the guy that's been very documented on his Super Bowl heroics. Max McGee.
Being
out all night and having a good time and then just dominating that Super Bowl.
Do you admire him because he was a great football player or because he could go and get smashed and be the and catch touchdowns in the Super Bowl?
A little of both.
Okay.
I admire him because he was a great color commentator as well.
Yes. He was.
Yes.
He was.
So right. He completes my team.
There you go. All right, Matt, your tight end pick.
So kind of like Sterling Sharp in a way. This guy wasn't with the Packers a long time and was unfortunately injured, but I thought he was probably the best tight end athletically we ever had was Jermichael Finley.
All right, oh, yeah. Jermichael Finley. Jermichael Finley is a good pick. So with that being said, with the tight ends off the board, there's a couple of ways I could go with this one. And I think I'm going to go the way of the 90s particular Packer. I'm going to go with Keith Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Good old Keith Jackson.
Let me tell you about Keith Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Keith Jackson. And yes, the Packer tight end and not the famous broadcaster.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Those are our NFL draft picks. Keith Hansey goes with Aaron Rodgers, Amon Green, Donald Driver, Max McGee, Mark Shimura, Matt Tyler is Brett Favre, Jim Taylor, Sterling Sharp, Jordy Nelson, Jermichael Finley. I went with Bart Starr, Paul Hornung, James Lofton, Devontae Adams, and Keith Jackson. Let us know what you guys think of those Packer draft picks. You can go ahead and hit us up here. Call 715-453-4482. You can also message us on Facebook. We're going to take a break when we come back. We're going to talk about some hypothetical trade destinations for Giannis Antetokounmpo. That's next here on the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about. Youth, high school, college, and pro. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Hi, this is Steve from Crossbridge Community Bank. We've spent a lot of time lately making sure your banking experience is what you expect. We recently added services that give you more transfer options for your money, better fraud detection, enhanced and easy-to-read printed and digital statements, and we're adding a new state-of-the-art account alert system that can tell you things like your account balance or when large checks clear. We are constantly improving technology to make banking easier for you. That's what a bank that puts purpose first looks like. Visit us today at crossbridge.bank.
John J. Schuette Construction is a family-owned company serving the area with trucking, excavating, and Wausau Homes. Their Wausau Homes Design Studio is at 1708 North 4th Street in Tomahawk, and they're ready to help make every home buyer's experience an enjoyable one from start to finish. Call 453-2015 for Excavating, Trucking, and Wausau Homes from John J. Shuni Construction of Tomahawk.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook, Matt Tyler, and Keith Hansen back with you here on this Wednesday evening, 6:45 here at our WJJQ studios here in Tomahawk. And gentlemen, I enjoy these drafts that we have. I think we may have Keith on to do something a little bit more, maybe a few more of these coming up here.
What else?
What other direction are we going? We've done Badgers, we did Packers,
we did Bucks. We could probably do Brewers pitching staff, I think, possibly. All-time Brewers pitching staff. I mean, we could go a very myriad number of ways. And plus, we can ask different people who they think their all-time great drafts are, because I think that's a lot of fun.
I like it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun as well.
Perhaps even an all-time hatchet team.
Maybe.
Ooh. Nice.
Huh? Would you induct yourself into that, Keith?
Well, obviously. Well, not according to Matt and John last week.
Oh, man. Man, watch. Is he the only one to score four touchdowns in a game?
Four touchdowns in one game.
Me and Al
four
Bundy.
Four touchdowns in one game.
There you go. All right, gentlemen. Let's go ahead and resume the topic on Giannis Antetokounmpo, because we've got some potential trade destinations to talk about. And that is the wrong music. There we go.
Switch to baseball.
Yeah, I know. I like to pull fast ones on people.
Yeah.
See, that's my theme.
82 buttons there. How do you know which one to pick?
Well, I mean, it's very, very hard. The only thing that you do there is do a lot of memory. That's the biggest thing, a lot of memory. So it's been a very, very trying time in Milwaukee right now.
I'm living in a cuckoo clock.
So the Milwaukee Bucks, there is the potential that Giannis Antetokounmpo could be traded. Matt, I'll go ahead and start with you on this. What team do you think is best suited, or do you think the Bucks could get in return for Giannis Antetokounmpo if they were to trade him in the offseason?
Well, like I said, to me, it's definitely a team that has, for sure, a lottery pick, if not multiple lottery picks. You brought this up. When do the Bucks have a lottery, or when do they have a first round draft pick again?
They own their first outright draft pick until 2031. They don't own one until then.
Yeah. So you got 6 years.
Yeah.
Without
you got six years.
First round pick.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if you're going to get the superstar for superstar trade necessarily.
Right.
That would be nice if you could get that or close to it. But, you know, again, like I look back at these superstar trades all the way back to Jabbar, and it's just like, nobody wants to offer a superstar for a superstar.
No, you don't. I mean, we saw that this year with Luka and AD going from the Lakers between the Lakers and the Mavs, but that was very quiet.
It's rare.
Yeah. It is rare. So, what team do you think what team do you think the Bucks would call?
You know, you brought up a good point with the Spurs. If they have multiple first round picks and they think, okay, a path to a championship is quicker with Giannis than it is Cooper Flagg or Bailey from Rutgers or Harper. I mean, sorry, Harper from Rutgers. That's one. Do you get a team that jumps in there like a Golden State who is falling down and potentially says, hey, let's take a shot at this guy again? This always seems like the New Jersey Nets are in the middle of these.
Or the Brooklyn Nets.
The Brooklyn Nets.
Yes. Yeah. No, that's all right.
Listen to me date myself. Holy cow.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
They're never afraid to kind of pull a trigger like that. But I'm with you. I hope he doesn't go. But I'm afraid he will.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. Keith?
Yeah. I think it's going to be after the lottery comes out.
Yes.
And I think it's going to be to a team that is young, to where they're not going to be offering swaps.
Mm-mm.
They're going to offer picks.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe a trade like
I wouldn't be surprised.
Two or three players.
Or two or three teams.
Or this could be a multiple.
This could be a multiple team trade.
So, let's say he went to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And he got in there, and let's say Oklahoma's trading with the Brooklyn Nets or something. You know, I could see it be a three-way, but I like Matt, I don't see it being a one-for-one trade.
No.
With you know, a lower pick.
Yeah.
I see Milwaukee going, okay, we're going to give you him, but we want, it may not be a pick this year, but maybe we get a first round pick next year and the year after to kind of get back on that board.
Yeah.
Because to go 6 years without a first round pick,
it's
as your team is getting older.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you rebuild?
There is no rebuild then.
It's very hard to rebuild. By the way, I want to go ahead and send this message here. Do you guys happen to have the number for the Milwaukee Police Department by chance? The reason why is because I want to put in a missing persons report with Kyle Kuzma because he was an absolute no-show.
What are you talking about? He had the exact same, in that first game, he had the exact same amount of points, rebounds, and assists as I did.
Right. As I did.
Right. Yeah.
22 minutes, 0, 0, and 0.
Well, yeah.
He was consistent.
He was consistent. Consistently bad. So anyways, I think that you're going to have to try and lump Kuzma into this into a trade as well. I think that that's definitely a possibility because that's a huge chunk of salary. He was brought in, believed to be, you know, this is who we're going to have, you know, in place of Chris Middleton. And clearly in the playoffs, you could see it did not pan out.
No.
It did not pan out. Him and Brooke Lopez became pretty much unplayable against the Pacers in that series.
They did.
Yeah.
And they didn't hit. I mean, they were missing the rim.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
They weren't even coming close on shots.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that he was lost. With Brooke Lopez, it's just a matter of age. He's just getting up there. So the way that I look at this is that the fact that Milwaukee, there are a few suitors that could very, very much benefit from him, as we talked about. I would not trade Giannis inside the Eastern Conference. That's me personally, because I don't want that to come back and bite me once the playoffs come around, right?
Right.
So what I would do is I would get San Antonio on the phone, I would get Oklahoma City on the phone, and I would also get Houston on the phone. I would get those three teams on the phone and say, what is the best offer you can give us? And whichever one they think is the best, they go with. Now, the Oklahoma City Thunder, they are the number one seed in the Western Conference. They have 29 picks over the next 6 years. 29 draft picks.
Wow.
The Brooklyn Nets have 31.
So they have picks to gamble away.
They have
away.
Picks to gamble. The thing is, though, Brooklyn doesn't have the players that Oklahoma City does. And so OKC, you have to think in the context of as well, you've got a couple of guys that are on team option deals, like Jalen Williams. You've got a guy like Lu Dort who's locked up long-term. You got a guy like Isaiah Joe's locked up long-term. Isaiah Hartenstein is locked up long-term as well over there. You're probably going to want to get two or three of those guys, and all three of your first-round picks this year, plus a couple of first-round picks next year, maybe one in 27, maybe one in 28 as well, and then see where that goes for you from there. Because at this point, Houston has the players. I don't know if they necessarily have the picks. They do have a lot more. They do have quite a few. Brooklyn has the picks. They don't have the players. San Antonio has the players, which they could lump in a couple of previous rookie of the years into that deal, which would set Milwaukee up for the future. So there's a lot of options that the Bucks could go with this one. I just want everyone to understand that you want to get the maximum amount of effort you can out of this with this trade, if Milwaukee's able to pull the trigger, because Giannis is not going to request a trade. So this is all on the Bucks.
Well, and if you trade him, you have to also understand something. You're not going to see the Bucks make a push for a minimum of 4 or 5 years.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If you trade him, and it's especially for a boatload of picks, don't expect the Bucks to be relevant for a while.
Yep. Right. I believe that we have a gentleman calling in, as a matter of fact, here. Let's see if we can get him on. Bear with us, please. Uh-oh, I think I know who this is.
Is this Trading Mart?
Hello, this is the Sports Q. How can we help you today?
Well, I thought I'd better check in and see what's going on.
John Long is calling in. All right. Here we go. All right, John.
How's the show going without me?
Well, you know what? Keith is
probably one of the best shows we've ever had, John.
Hey, John, sorry that I couldn't get there to bail you out.
Well, it's probably something like you got regular Cheerios and then you got generic Cheerios. You know, they'll they'll do for a time or two, but you kind of, you're like, I really want a real Cheerio.
Oh, yeah, everything's going good here. John, what do you have to offer us today?
Well, I thought I better weigh in a little bit on the whole Bucks situation. You guys talk Bucks already?
Yeah, well, we're in the midst of talking about it right now. We're talking about hypothetical destinations for Giannis if the Bucks were to trade him. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'd like to say that I hope that they don't trade him. I understand the idea behind it because you can potentially stockpile draft picks and maybe young players. I think Giannis is one of those once-in-a-generation type players, and I'd rather see them get rid of some other pieces and try and do their best to put together a contending team. However, I understand that may not be, you know, what's in the best interest. I know one destination that was talked about a little bit earlier was OKC with a lot of young talent there and some money to spend. Houston was another one that has some draft picks and some money to spend. But honestly, I'd love to see them hold on to Giannis. I will say that I'm ready to see Doc go. I think Doc has proven once again that, you know, he's a guy that has a hard time getting it to the end. I know he's got one title with Boston, but honestly, it's time for maybe some new, younger coaching blood to bring some excitement back into the organization.
Yeah, we were talking about that, John. So the interesting part about this is the fact that Damian Lillard's going to be out all of next year with the torn Achilles. How much do you think that factors into the decisions that Milwaukee will make this upcoming offseason?
Well, I think that's a huge factor. I mean, you've got a guy that you're counting on for a double-double, a 20, 25-point, 10-assist kind of guy, a guy who's a clutch performer, and so he's going to leave a big gaping hole. Now, that being said, we knew when we got him that we were going to lose out on the defense that Drew Holiday brought to the table. So, you know, that is something that gives the Bucks an opportunity to try and fill that hole with a guy that can hopefully provide some offense, yet at the same time bring back some of that defensive toughness that we've missed ever since Drew left.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. John Long calling in. I'm glad that you could take time out of your very busy schedule at this time. Matt has something he would like to add.
This Bucks decision is going to be tougher than you and I crawling out of that compact Uber in Green Bay at the draft.
I'll tell you what, Matt, that's saying something,
because
that wasn't easy.
We both went out head first. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. That, when they say
I'm
use your head, I don't
that
think
Uber driver didn't have her phone rolling.
I would have loved to see a video of that. Oh, man.
We were in some compromising positions.
John, thank you very much for calling in. Appreciate it, man.
You bet. I'll hang up and listen for a bit till I show my next house, Keith.
No, yeah, right.
thank you, John. Yep. Oh, man, that's fun getting him in down there.
We don't need to take any phone calls.
Why do we not need to take any phone calls? Are you afraid that John will outsmart you?
I'm a college man. No. I don't need my high school diploma anymore. I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-T.
Pretty soon he'll turn into this.
Brilliant. I have absolutely no idea what's going on.
Thought you guys were getting a kick out of it. Keith, you're just the brunt of all the jokes.
Yes,
here.
Yes. Whether I'm here or not.
No, we talk
about. But now that I know I can call in.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
You can call in. Oh, just don't call into my personal cell, all right? Oh, man. So while we're in the mix here, we've got some Hatchet broadcasts coming up this week. Keith is going to be with me both tomorrow night and Friday night for Tomahawk Baseball against Medford and Rhinelander. Fairmont Orthodontics radio pregame shows will begin at 4:35. Opening pitches at 5 o'clock. Again, Keith will be with me in the broadcast booth. All of our spring broadcasts, by the way, over on our sister station, Sports Talk 810 AM and 97.7 FM, WJJQ. Matt, did you have fun?
As per usual, Alex.
Keith, did you have fun?
Yes, it's good to be back in here.
Yeah, it does feel good to be back in here. Again, we're going to need to get all three of you back in here as well at some point before we go on our hiatus in the summer. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in to the Sports Q here on WJJQ. Next week, we'll go ahead and talk about some more Bucks offseason news. We'll talk about the Brewers as well, maybe some Hatchet sports as well. We can also get some more coaches in there.
pretty much we're right now waiting for the offseason at this point. Thank you very much for tuning into the Sports Q here on WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Have a sportacular week. I'll see you all next week.
Listening to the Sports Q.